الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وقال جل وعلا: يسألك الناس عن الساعة قل إنما علمها عند الله. فقال جل وعلا في مقام آخر: يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها. My respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. July 1999, the false French prophet of the 16th century was on the lips of everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim alike. And if you remember, he made the media big time. The TV, the newspapers, the magazine, the radio. Everybody around the globe was talking about one person, Nostradamus, and his prediction that the world was going to end. Now, in spite that the majority of his predictions that he made in the past proved to be wrong, in spite of this, many people really began to believe that the world was really going to end the day he predicted. To the extent that some kuffar left their home looking for a safe haven, looking for a refuge, looking for a place which will save them from this disaster. In this very city, Leeds, what did we see? We saw the New Age travelers in the middle of your city center, sitting in a neat round circle with their heads down and all their luggage waiting for the world to end. It was sad to hear that this prediction of Nostradamus proved strong enough that it created doubt and rocked the iman of some Muslims with regards to when the world will end. And if you remember, there was thunder on that night, and there was lightning in many places, and this really increased fear in those weak people that really believed that the world was going to end. But did the world end? The world did not end. And now we have the millennium around the corner. We have the millennium around the corner, and many kuffar have begun to believe that the millennium will bring with it the end of the world. Because some of the kuffar believe that on the turn of the millennium, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens and there will be a great war, and thus the world will end. Not only have they begun to believe this, many Christians from the States, the United States of America, have begun to move to Palestine, to Beit al-Maqdis, to the Mount of Olives, as they believe this is where Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is going to descend. So they are moving to Palestine because they want to witness this event. They want to see Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam come down from the heavens. And come the millennium, the Muslims yet again will be tested. And yet again the Muslims will ask one another, is the world really going to end? What does Islam say about the ending of the world? Listen very carefully to what the Quran says. The Quran says, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you regarding the hour. Qiyamah, when will Qiyamah come? Tell them, its knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet again the Quran says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا فِيمَا أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you regarding the hour when it will occur. Allah says, tell them that it is not the business of any prophet to tell its exact time. Why? Because no prophet knows when Qiyamah will take place. Its knowledge is only with the same being who created this world. The hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخبرني عن الإيمان. Tell me, what is Iman? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خير وشره والبعث بعد الموت. Believe in Allah, believe in His angels, believe in His books, His messengers, believe in fate, good and bad, and believe in life after death. This is Iman. The stranger posed another question to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, what is Islam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. Testify there is no God worthy of worship and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Offer your prayers and give your zakat. Fast in the month of Ramadan and perform Hajj if you have the means. This is Islam. The third question he posed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me, mal ihsan? What is ihsan? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ki an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara fa in lam takun tara fa innahu yara. That worship Allah with such concentration as if you can see Allah. And if you cannot get to this stage, then worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing that the Almighty is watching every action. This is ihsan. Yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now tell me, mata sa'a? When is the hour? When will Qiyamah take place? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the stranger, mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lam min as-sa'if. That the one questioned has no more knowledge about Qiyamah than the one that has questioned. Meaning the questioner and know the one that has questioned knows anything about Qiyamah when it will take place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I will inform you of its time. إِذَا وَلَدَتِ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّهَا. When a slave girl gives birth to her master, and when poor shepherds begin to construct lofty big buildings, then six, the hour is close. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are five things that nobody has the knowledge of which besides the Almighty Himself. But in the very same gathering, He recited the verse of the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ الْمُسْتَعَ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بَأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. The first, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ الْمُسْتَعَ. The knowledge when the world will end is only with Allah. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. It is He who sends down the rain. The second it will rain, the location it will rain, how many drops of rain will fall, where they will fall, this knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. He knows what is inside the womb. Every womb in dunya, whether it is the womb of a human being or the womb of some animal, what is inside this womb the day the egg fertilizes and before this, Allah, it is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether a child will be born, whether this child will be male or female, the knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you will do tomorrow, how much you will earn, and where you will die, the knowledge of these five things are only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question left, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een, bring him back. The Sahaba looked for this person, but they could not find him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een, that was Sayyidina Jibra'il. Ja'a yu'allimukum deenakum, he came to teach you your deen. From this ahadith and the verses of the Quran, it is clearly evident that nobody besides Allah, no being besides Allah knows when the world is going to end. No kafir, no Nostradamus, no wali, no shaheed, and no prophet, to the extent our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also did not know and does not know when the world will end. The only being that knows when the world will end is the being that created this world, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing is for certain, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and the Quran has taught us that the time has come very close for the world to end. If you open the book of Allah, you will find the Quran announcing. 1400 years ago the Quran said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. And what you know, perhaps the time of the hour has come close. The Quran says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, that reckoning draws near for mankind. The time for hisab, the time to stand in front of Allah the Almighty and to pay the price of sin and disobedience, that time has come close. Yet again the Quran says, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ, that the Qiyamah has come close and the moon has split. Many of the signs that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam predicted that will take place before Qiyamah have already appeared. The fire of Hijaz has already appeared. The hadith authentic, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَ حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ نَارٌ مِنْ أَرْضِ الْحِجَازِ تُضِيُّ أَنَاقَ الْإِبْلِ بِبُصْرَةِ, that Qiyamah will not come till a fire, a great fire, will come out from the land of Hijaz, and this fire will shed light on the necks of the camels traveling in the land of Busra. Busra is a city near Damascus. That this fire will be so great and its light will be so great that these camels in the land of Busra will be able to walk in its light. 600 years after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam died, this prediction proved true. Around 800 years ago, this fire of Hijaz came out. In the latter part of the Abbasi rule, 2 years before the Tarsus destroyed Baghdad, the great Imam Qurtubi writes regarding this fire, he writes that this fire came out from outside the city of Madinatul Munawwarah. at the place of Qurayza called Harra, a city walled all four sides. On Wednesday, the 3rd of Jamadi Uthani, 654 Hijri. They write that this fire, it looked like as if it was a huge city, in which its minarets, towers and forts were appearing. It was 12 miles long, 4 miles wide, and around 2.5 man stature high. He writes, it seemed as if there were two canals inside this fire. One red and one green, which thundered like clouds, and a mountain of ash had risen on account of it. Qazi Sinan says, when this huge fire was outside Madinatul Munawwara, I came to the Amir of Medina at the time and I said to him, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, the Amir of Medina freed all his slaves. He gave back to people what was due to them. He stopped collecting tax. And he and all the people of Medina spent Saturday night in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah's mercy and begging for Allah's forgiveness, till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally turned this fire away from the people of Madinatul Munawwara. It had strange characteristics. There's a huge city of fire outside Madinatul Munawwara, and what is inside Madinatul Munawwara? Because of the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a cold breeze inside Madinatul Munawwara, and this city of fire is having no effect on the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Fire does not burn stone. The mu'arrikhin, the historians, write that this fire burns every stone and every mountain it passed through. Fire burns wood. The historians write that this fire had no effect on wood. No effect on wood whatsoever. Allama Qattalani, who was in Hijaz at the time when this fire broke out, he wrote a book on this fire. He writes that I was informed that there was a huge stone. Half of this stone was inside the sacred area, the Haram, and half of this stone was outside the sacred area. He writes, the fire came and only burned the half that was outside the Haram. The half that was inside the Haram, the fire did not touch. He writes, a man put out his arrow to this fire. It only burned the arrowhead and didn't touch the remainder, which was made out of what? He writes, its light was such that the people of Medina would work during the night as if it were day. And the light of this fire could be seen all the way from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah, the mountains of Makkah. For those that have been to Hijaz, the distance between Makkah and Medina is over 400 kilometers. The light of this fire could be seen all the way from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah and all the way from Busra. And this is how the prediction of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proved true 600 years after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left this world. Another sign which has already appeared is the plague of Amwat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Oh, sitam bayna yadi sa'a." He count and prepare for six things before Qiyamah. One of the things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in this hadith was that an epidemic will hit you just like the one that spreads amongst sheep and herds of animals. The great master of hadith, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, writes that this took place in the plague of Amwat in the reign of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, after the conquest of Bayt al-Maqdis. He writes that the plague started in the city of Amwat, which is in Palestine. Then this plague spread in the whole of Syria, Iraq and Misr. The leader of the Muslims at the time was Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was informed about this plague, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself left Madinatul Munawwara to find out details about this plague. When he reached a place called Sarq, the Mujahideen that were already there, the leaders of the Mujahideen, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, Shurabil ibn Hasna, came to meet the Amir al-Mu'mineen to inform him of the severeness of this plague and to tell him to return and not to come to the infected area. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gathered the muhajireen and asked what he should do. Some of the Muhajirin said that he should continue his journey and go to the infected area, while some of the Muhajirin said that Amir al-Mu'mineen should return to Madinatul Munawwara and not come to where the plague is. So Ibn Umar gathered the Ansar and asked for their opinion. The Ansar, like the Muhajirin, differed amongst themselves. Some said that the Amir al-Mu'mineen should continue the journey, while others said that he should return to Madinatul Munawwara. Sayyidina Umar gave preference to return to Madinatul Munawwara. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah was very strict in the matter of taqdeer. When he saw Sayyidina Umar returning, he said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, afiraran min qadarillah. O Umar, are you running away from the fate of Allah, from the taqdeer of Allah?" Sayyidina Umar, who was very wise, answered, "Na'am, firaran min qadarillah ila qadarillah." That Umar is running away from the taqdeer of Allah to the taqdeer of Allah. He explained, "O Abu Ubaidah, if a valley has two sides, one is very rich and productive, very fertile, and the other is very dry, if a man comes and herds his sheep in the rich area, does he not do it with the taqdeer of Allah? And the one who takes his animals to the dry area, does he not also do it with the taqdeer of Allah?" Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah understood. Next day, Abdurrahman ibn Auf came, who had not visited the Amir al-Mu'mineen the day before. He heard what had happened and he said, Umar, do not worry, because I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, فَإِذَا سَمِئْتُمْ بِهَذَا الْوَبَاءِ بِبَلَدٍ فَلَا تَخْدَمُوا عَلِيْهِ وَإِذَا وَقَعَ وَأَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَلَا تَخْرُجُوا فِرَارًا مِنْهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when you hear that there is a plague in a city, then do not go to that city. But if it takes place while you are already there, then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that you should not leave this place. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very pleased that he had made the right decision according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu returned to Madinatul Munawwara, he was informed of the damage this plague was causing. He wrote a letter to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. كَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أَرَضَتْ لِي إِلَيْكَ حَاجَةً وَأُرِيدُ أَنْ أُشَافِهَكَ فِيهِ فَأَزَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ إِذَا نَظَرْتَ فِي كِتَابِ هَذَا أَلَّا تَدَعْهُ مِنْ يَدِكَ حَتَّى تَقْبَلْ إِلَيَّ. That something has come up. As soon as you read my letter reaches you, come to Madinatul Munawwara. Listen to the reply. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah replies, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know why you are calling me. You are calling me because you want to save the life of one who is not going to live. I cannot leave the Muslims to die by themselves. I hope you will excuse me." 25,000 Mujahideen died from this plague. Great Sahabas like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Sayyidina Mu'az ibn Jabal, Shurabil ibn Hassana, Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, all died from this plague. And this is how the prediction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proved true, that you will be, that a plague will hit you, an epidemic will hit you, just like the one that spreads amongst animals and goats. Another sign that has already appeared, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey. We halted at a place. Some of us put up our tents, while some of us began to compete with one another in shooting, and some of us began to take our animals for grazing. When all of a sudden a call of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out, "As-salatu jami'atun, as-salatu jami'atun." "O Muslims, come for prayer, come for prayer." The Sahaba say, we gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "لم يكن نبي قبلي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على خير ما يعلمه لهم وينذرهم من شر ما يعلمه لهم." That every prophet that has come before me, it was the duty of this prophet to guide his followers and to tell them what he knew was good for them and warn them of what he knew was bad for them. "As for your ummah, wa inna ummatakum hadhihi ju'ila afiyatuha fi awwaliha." Your ummah, its days of peace, its days of security are in its early phase. As for the last phase of this ummah, it will be afflicted with calamities and trials and fitna, with things that this ummah will dislike. And we are seeing at this moment in time, the Muslims are being beaten all over the world. One country after another, the Muslims are being wiped out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever wishes to enter Jannah and save himself from the fire of hell, he should die in such a state that he believes in Allah and he believes in the last day. One hadith. The second hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing the east, and while facing the east, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ الْفِتْنَ هَا هُنَا أَلَا إِنَّ الْفِتْنَ هَا هُنَا مِنْ حَيْثُ يَتْلَوْ قَرْنُ الشَّيْطَانِ. That the fitna is here, it will start from here, referring to the east, where the devil's horns rise. In these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us two things. A, this ummah will be afflicted with many trials and fitna. And secondly, the majority of these fitnas will come from the east. How true Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Many fitnas have come and gone, and the majority of these fitnas came from the east. If you open the books of history, the fitna Zardastiyya came from the east. The Manawiyya came from the east. Buziyya, east. Hindusiyya, east. Qadianiyya, east. Baha'iyya, east. At this moment in time, we have atheism and communism in the east. And before the end of time, the Dajjal and the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will also come from the east. One fitna that is worth mentioning and also came from the east was the fitna of the Tartars. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not come till you, the Muslims, will fight the Turk. Beady eyes. Their cheeks will be red. Their noses will be flat. And their faces will look like as if layers of hide have been placed upon them. The hour will not come till you will fight a people whose sandals will be made of hair. The people referred to in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the Tartars who came from Turkestan and descended upon the Muslims in the year 656 Hijri, around 800 years ago. The Tartars committed so much bloodshed and murdered so many Muslims that to this very day nobody has committed such bloodshed. Tajuddin writes in his Tabaqat, he writes, لَمْ يَكُنْ مُنْزُ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الدُّنْيَا فِتْنَةً أَكْبَرُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ التَّطَّارِ. Now from the day Allah created this dunya, there has never been a fitna bigger than the fitna of the Tartars. He writes, فَإِنَّهُمْ خَرَّبُوا الْمَسَاجِدِ. They destroyed the houses of Allah. They broke all the masajid. They burned all the holy Qur'ans. They burned all the books of tariq, the books of hadith. They burned the books of fiqh. They burned the commentaries of the Qur'an. They killed the men and they did not spare the women. Those women that were expecting, they would rip open their stomach and they would take the Muslim child and they would take off his head. Ibn Khaldun writes that in Baghdad alone, they slaughtered 16 lakh Muslims. We're talking 800 years ago when there were no tanks, no aeroplanes. They slaughtered 16 lakh Muslims, that is 1.6 million Muslims in Baghdad alone. The total population of Baghdad at the time was 2 million Muslims. The 4 lakh that remained, the majority were Shia. As for the Sunni Muslims, they slaughtered 1.6 million Muslims. They killed the Khalifa at the time, Mu'tasim Billah, and left him under the feet of animals. It is written in the books of history that the Muslims were so scared of their women, the Turk women, that when they saw a Turk woman, they would begin to shake. It is written in the books of history that if a Turk woman passed by 12 to 14 Muslim men, these men would begin to shake. She would go home
She would tell them to wait there. This woman would go home. She would bring a sword. She would tell the Muslim men to bow in ruku, and she would take their heads off one by one, and these Muslims would not move. Ibn Khaldun writes that they stole so much treasure from the royal palaces in Baghdad that it cannot be described. Qutbuddin al-Hanafi writes that they burnt so many Muslim books and threw so many Muslim books in the river Dajla that the color of the river became black because of the ink in the books. There were so much books inside the river that a bridge formed over which people would walk. This is how true Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's prophecy came. Many signs have appeared. Many signs are appearing at this moment in time. We are seeing them and we are witnessing them with our very own eyes.